Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we do thank you for this day and this time together. We thank you that we're able to be here in freedom, dressed as we want to be. We thank you that you don't require that we have on a tie or that we come to you perfect. You just ask us to come and welcome us as we are. And you receive our failures and our triumphs, our joys and our sorrows. And you take them all and you hold them in your hands and you make them new. You fill us with hope and promise because you have triumphed over all things. Bring newness to our lives. Bring healing to our hearts. Bring wholeness to our broken spirits. Hear those that we love and who need your healing touch now. We pray for our soldiers who are far from home in danger's way. We pray for all those who are facing war or crime or violence. We pray for those without work. We pray for those with problems in their homes. We pray for those who are sick and who are facing surgery. We pray for those who are bringing new babies home and are preparing for marriage, for starting new jobs. All that we have and all that we are, we bring to you, Lord. And we thank you that your grace covers us all and your love is perfect and full. This and all of our prayers we say as your Son taught us to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our scripture today is one verse from the Psalms, Psalm 116, verse 12. What can I offer the Lord for all his goodness to me? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you have been reading along with us in the Treasures of the Transformed Life, you know that this week we're talking about giving, specifically giving our money, our tithes, our offerings. One of the components of this series is supposed to be interviews that we do each week with some of you about the week's topic. But as I started thinking about asking some of you to share your stories about giving, I realized that most of you would be very uncomfortable standing up here talking about how generous you are. There's a humble spirit in this church, in the whole church, about what we give, why we give, what it means to us to give. That is not true in every church. But in this church, it is. Many of you give generously and purposely remain anonymous, and you'd be uncomfortable having it any other way. So, instead of setting myself up to be turned down as I asked you to come up here and share, I instead asked if some of you would share privately, with just me, what you give, how you give, why you give, how you've grown in your giving. And many agreed to do that. So I read your emails, or I sat across from you at the table, and I just listened as you shared your faith, your love, your gratitude, your deep and abiding joy in giving. That experience of listening to you was one of the most inspiring and joyful times I have had as a pastor. To you who shared, I thank you. My life is changed because of your generous and humble spirits. Well, there was a lot of practical advice that folks shared. I thought this tidbit was hilarious in its honesty. One man said, write God's check first, or make that electronic transfer first. But then he added in parentheses, my wife's household money is transferred automatically, so there is peace in my home even as I do this. People said they plan a budget and plan on a certain amount of money they will give each month, and that it's a joy for them, a delight, to decide how they will share that money. That was a point that many of you had, that you cannot give if you spend every penny you have. In order to be generous, you have to set money aside to do so. Generous people are disciplined people. They didn't just happen upon some extra cash at the end of the month. Usually, it is that they planned from the very beginning what they would give, and then they stuck to their plan. Another piece of advice was from a man who said, tip well. If the waitress is going to see you pray before your meal, then let her see a nice tip when you leave as well. It's a quiet way to witness to the goodness of God. A recurring thing among those who shared with me is that we learn to give. Some of you give because you had generous parents who taught you how to do that and whose memory challenges you still to give to those in need. Others of us didn't grow up with the habit of giving to a church or to others, but we can still learn it and we can teach it. Our children can learn generosity from us and we can learn it from others. Wayne and I both grew up in homes that did not attend church. My family read the paper and watched football on Sundays. So, of course, we didn't grow up giving to the church. When I married Wayne, I still thought charitable giving was paying my taxes. But Wayne taught me about tithing and giving and even being able to give. Were it not for Wayne's discipline in our finances, we wouldn't be able to give as we do. Brother Jeff shared last Sunday night about how Miss Winniedale taught him about tithing. One of you said, giving to the church was the last thing on our list. We had to be convinced to put tithing at the top. Once we did, there was a settling. A clarity came to our finances. Giving was a step of faith, he said. But now, it is like a guiding star for us. And one woman wrote, generosity is something that's very difficult for me because I was not raised in a generous home. But since I married, I have seen how generosity can change you. God has blessed me with the means to be able to help others. I hope giving has made me a less selfish person by opening my eyes to the misfortunes of others. We learn to share our toys as toddlers, but we spend the rest of our lives learning to share everything else. Another idea many of our givers noted was that we are merely stewards of all that we have. One person said it this way, it all belongs to God. I am God's steward for just a very small portion of God's great wealth. If everything is in the world is God's, and I believe it is, then that means that everything in my home is God's. Everything in my bank account is God's. Even everything I am yet to earn or receive is God's. How well am I handling God's money and resources? How pleased will God be with what I've done, with what I've been given? One man clearly understands that he's a steward and says that sharing gives meaning to his life. He wrote, the act of giving makes the day seem less mechanized, impersonal, and monotonous. It's his chance to usher in the kingdom of God, of heaven here on earth, in his little corner of the world. To him, giving has eternal meaning as well. He continues, giving also means to me the disposal of my resources at my death, and involves estate planning and even organ donation, which he says provides a meaningful end to the stewardship of resources that God has provided us in this lifetime. That's beautiful. This man planning to be a steward even in death. Another thing I noted among many who shared was refraining from judgment about those in need, a willingness to give to all who asked, a humble sense of generosity without strings attached. I remember once riding to Birmingham Southern with Michael for a workshop. If any of you have been to Southern, you know it is a beautiful gated campus right in the middle of a community that's been in decline for decades. So it wasn't surprising to me that as we pulled off the interstate, there at the end of the exit ramp was a man holding a sign begging for money. Michael didn't worry about how that man was going to spend the money. Instead, he just opened his window, gave him some cash and some kind words. Among the givers I spoke with, there was that common theme. We give because it's the right thing to do, the human thing to do. We give because we have it to give. We give because there but for the grace of God go I. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was famous for his financial advice. He said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. If we in the church did this one thing, there would be no need for the social programs that are draining our government. But to me, the most beautiful and compelling idea that was shared by every person who talked to me was the attitude of gratitude. I heard things like this. I'm so blessed by my family, church, community, job, health. How could I not say thank you? Or this. I have been so blessed by God all my life, and I know that I will never be able to give enough to show how thankful I am for all God's blessings. God has shown me mercy and grace and has blessed me even though I don't deserve it. It's easy for me to give because I have so much. Her advice to those who have not yet found joy in giving was this. If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. I don't do much, she said, but hopefully my small part will make a difference in at least one person's life. The miraculous thing about the giving of your time and money, she says, is that it not only has the power to change others' lives, but it will change your life too. And I smiled at this simple, direct statement that rings true to me. If you're not grateful, you're not paying attention. Sunday night, as the youth shared about their mission work this past summer, one girl told about going to a simulated poverty experience at CFAT, where they went without good food, comfortable beds, and even air conditioning in the middle of the Alabama summer. She said that what she brought home from that experience was a deep, life-changing sense of gratitude for even the simplest of things. Do without the comforts of home for a few days, and suddenly you're grateful for everything you have. Do without a job for a couple of months, and suddenly you are grateful finally to be able to go to work again. Do without your health for a season, and suddenly you are grateful even to be able to walk across the room. Lose a friend or loved one, and suddenly everyone you hold dear is more precious than ever before. Gratitude, grateful living, may be the most Christ-like trait that we can cultivate. And the amazing thing is that we really can grow our gratitude. So many of us, so much of the time, focus on what we do not have. But what if we tried to change that focus and instead looked at all the things we do have? I have a challenge for you sometime this week, maybe this afternoon. Make a list of 100 things you are grateful for. 100 things that you appreciate about your life right now, as it is. Not focusing on what you don't have, but instead focusing on all that you already do have. 100 things to be thankful for. 100 reasons to praise and thank God. You'll be surprised. It doesn't take very long at all to do. And if you make a habit of thanking God, I think it will change your life. It has certainly changed mine. As I made my list, as I began daily thanking God for the great things in my life, I discovered that all I have is all I really need. More importantly, I discovered that all I really need is an awareness of all that I already have. I think the two most important words in the world are thank you. And I think that those are the purest, truest form of worship that there is. What is it that we're doing each week when we put a gift in the offering but saying thank you? Thank you, God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Everything you call beautiful, God created. Every person you love, God designed. Every relationship you cherish, God planned. Every time you feel love, joy, peace, hope, that is of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Which brings us back to our text for the day. What can I offer the Lord for all His goodness to me? We give thanks. We give thanks with grateful hearts. Amen. Would you please stand? And I do ask that this week you make a list of 100 reasons to praise and thank God, and that will be something to cheer about, something to praise God about, something to refocus our minds about. Go in the love and care of God, in the sure and certain strength of God, and in the eternal forgiveness and grace of God. Amen.